the top left back and the sunshine shining.
Cowboy baby,
West Coast chilling with the booms
wide. I'm gonna be a cowboy baby,
riding at night cause I sleep all day.
Ladies and gentlemen, lads and ladies, welcome back to the Sling the Biscuit podcast. This is not a new podcast anymore. It's the old podcast. We're 29 episodes
it's an
in.
Established podcast.
We are established, but if you're new joining the podcast, like to say welcome. My name is Travis Ridgen. I am the starting right bench for the Motor City Rockers in the Fed Zeno, the FPHL. We're number 33 on the bench, and I'm number 33 in your heart. I'm joined by my amazing co-host, who every week finds new ways to amaze me in ways that he never has before. He hosts the top morning radio show in the city of Winnipeg. He's hustling and bustling. He is 6'2", and he's devilishly good-looking, Mr. Dave Wheeler.
I am nothing more than a meat popsicle, sir.
Speaking of meat, actually, I got a story. Well, not a story, a saying that I was told the other day over FaceTime. I was talking to one of the guys in Motor City, and he says, Trav, I want you to say this line to start the podcast. And I said, what is that? And he said, BLTs, the worst thing in hockey, the best thing for lunch. A little bacon, lettuce, tomato for the pregame meal, and a blue line turnover will literally pull the hairs out of your head. A blue line turnover and a CFB, a check from behind. Nothing worse than that. But well, welcome to the podcast.
Since we're telling stories, I was challenged last week on the show. He said right before I went into the show, I was with a buddy of mine was over, and I was like, hey, I got to go record a podcast. And he says, challenge for you. We'll put a beer on the line. You got to say the word penis at least three times. I only got it in twice. He listened back. He's like, I counted. You only got it in twice. You owe me a beer.
So are we going for three this week?
No challenges this week. No challenges. There's no Easter eggs hidden anywhere in this podcast. Don't worry. We're good. We're just going to give you the straight goods as we always do.
You're like Evander Kane, putting money on yourself. 500 G's on black.
You want to start there?
We should.
Because there was some, I don't want to say backlash, but there were some people kind of saying, yo, what's up with trashing E. Kane? And it's like, no, it's not necessarily trashing. It was just giving you the point of view of somebody who was there and kind of experienced these things and giving you a firsthand account. Whether you choose to take that information and process it however you like, that is on you. Just telling you what I knew from my experiences. And I think to be honest with you, defended the guy a little bit because the stories coming out of Winnipeg about that period of time were a lot worse than the way I presented it.
I think, too, you got to remember, like, when you see the Instagram clips or the TikTok clips or the YouTube shorts, I edit them in a way that you see them, it gets you thinking, it creates a reaction, and then it gets you to come to the actual full podcast. When you listen to the full podcast discussion, like you mentioned.
You mean like a sensationalistic headline? Nobody does that. The New York Times would never do something like that. McLean's Magazine would never do something like that. That's a sensationalistic headline? Get out of here!
I mean, at the end of the day, like, this is a small podcast. We're doing 6,000 plus listens every single episode. I know it's a little bit slower since the new year, but the goal is to get people over to the podcast from the Instagram, from the TikTok, from the YouTube shorts, because you know we have sponsors for the podcast, and obviously Instagram and TikTok aren't paying, so it's nice to bring people over to the podcast. But I do think you defended him probably a lot more than most people would. I know that he was public enemy number one in Winnipeg when the stories were coming out about him bouncing on tabs and whatnot.
Based on what he went through in Las Vegas, I don't know if anyone would be willing to stake him at all or give him a credit at any casinos anymore. I feel bad for the guy. Listen, coming from a guy who maxed out a credit card once upon a time doing some online gambling, I learned my lesson pretty early and still managed to find myself ways to get into trouble gambling. But I'm not going to use the word sickness, but it is an addiction. It's an addiction. And I think a guy like Dennis Rodman, I'm not going to speak on behalf of Evander Kane and what feeling he gets out of it, but I can relate to a guy like Dennis Rodman who said once upon a time, it's a hard feeling to describe and it's nothing that you can replicate. Like winning feels great. But when you see a whole bunch of money go across the other side of the table, it's just indescribable. And not that the feeling of losing becomes addictive, but it's a feeling nonetheless, and it's very exclusive to doing that kind of habit. And yeah, Charles Barkley also said you don't have a gambling problem if you can afford to pay your debts. So if we're going to use that logic, then I would say Evander Kane had a gambling problem.
So also a couple weeks ago, you had mentioned in the podcast that you think we have maybe a little bit more influence than we lead on to believe in the podcast. And I recently discovered that I think that maybe we do. So if you're new to the podcast, again, welcome. But if you're a returning viewer, all Patreon members and whatnot get free rookie cards from my time in Motor City and from my time in Sweden. And so I created these rookie cards with a designer. I started posting them out. They're available for $10. But I realized that three Fed teams recently started selling trading cards as well in Motor City, Watertown, and Mississippi. They're selling rookie cards. They're selling cards to the players. And now I just want to start off by saying, like, not upset by it. I think it's kind of cool that, like, nobody was doing it before. And now a couple teams have kind of hopped on board. And yeah, I thought that was interesting.
You know, look at it this way. You didn't invent the hockey card. That was done a long time ago, but you brought it to a market that thought, it's not going to work in this market. And then you proved that it's going to work, and they went, okay, it's going to work. We should do that.
Got lots of other ideas, too, that I think it worked, but that's for next season, and that's when I have
Throw them against the wall. See if they stick. No such thing as a bad idea. No such thing as a bad idea. We don't say no in the writer's room. We put it up there, and we just see which ones are better.
We will try everything once. Limited to bear traps, naked old women, and clowns. That's kind of where I draw the line with those three stipulations.
My wife says try everything twice in case you do it wrong the first time.
I don't know how you could possibly mess up putting your balls in a bear trap for the second time. You ever seen that in Jackass?
Instead of putting your balls in a bear trap, you should put them in a pair of Sheath underwear. Let's give them a shout out nice and early here. Sheath underwear. Hey, listen, I'm coming from a guy who went everywhere from tighty whities as a kid to boxer shorts when I was a teenager to boxer briefs when I was in my 20s, and then finally found the ones that had the outside lining, and I thought I was like, well, this is a game changer, and it was. But now it's evolved even more where we get full separation. These things are incredible. If you want to take care of your boys, get them inside of a pair of Sheath underwear. I cannot endorse these more. I really can't.
And Sheath Underwear is our presenting sponsor for that exact reason. They got the dual pouch. It is a separated, segregated compartment that compartmentalizes your dick and your balls so they're not touching. They don't sweat. They don't stick to the side of your leg. Sorry, they can sweat, but it keeps it away so it's not sticking. And the bamboo cooling mesh is incredible. And if you want to pick up a pair of Sheath Underwear from our presenting sponsors from the team at Sheath, use the code BIZKIT69, BIZKIT69, for 20% off your order at sheathunderwear.com. If you're on the YouTube video version, there's a link in the video description. And if you're on the Apple, Spotify, or the Google version, there's a link in the podcasting notes to get an amazing pair of Sheath underwear that you will not regret. Speaking of regret, I was at the train station the other day in Vancouver. I was just doing some work and whatnot. One of the VIA engineers, a good friend of mine, he says to me a while ago, he says, Trav, I got all this merchandise that like VIA gives me, and I have too much. It's just a bunch of crap sitting around. My wife wants me to get rid of it. Do you think you could take it off my hands? I said, yeah, sure. So I go and meet him. He gives me this like nice like locomotive engineer jacket and hat, like the whole shebang. He gave me like two jackets. All
is
this nice
that
stuff.
Why? Because I saw you wearing that stuff in your vlog when you were giving the tour of Vancouver, and I thought to myself, wow, VIA really hooked him up, because I thought VIA had presented you with all that. And it was like, hey, part of the deal is, you know, with the whole train ticket thing that we talked about on a previous podcast, I thought that was part of the deal. It's like, wear this in your vlogs. But that was just the Good Samaritan handing over some winter stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's actually the opposite. I'm blocked on all social media by VIA for some reasons. Maybe we can get into it now or a different time. But they blocked me on everything. And so one of the engineers, a good friend of mine, he gave me all this stuff. And so I started wearing around everywhere. And so I was texting him the other day, and he says, if you wear the jacket, I bet you could just like walk onto the train platform. And when you're a passenger at VIA, they give you shit if you walk off the platform. You know, there's active rail yards and whatnot. And they're very, very big sticklers about don't walk in front of the train, by the locomotives, all this kind of stuff. And so I said, I'm gonna test this out. So I put the jacket on. It says, you know, VIA locomotive engineer. I dressed the part. I have my backpack full of cameras, and I was like, I'm gonna go down to Pacific Central. I'm gonna get on the platform. I'm gonna try to take some nice clips, some nice video for an upcoming travel vlog I'm working on. And so I walk into the building, and I go to the security, and I says, excuse me, ma'am, I'm off duty today. Would I be able to go on the platform? And she says, oh, not a problem. Do you have your pass on you? I said, no, I don't have my pass on me. I'm not working today. I had no idea what pass she was talking about. And she says, oh, well, here, just take this high-vis vest. Here you go. And here's a pass to get wherever you need to go. And enjoy yourself. Just let us know whenever you're done. And I was like, my goodness, this is too easy.
Wow.
Now, hold on. So
wow.
I go from the security.
That is... Wow.
I walk to the train platform area, and there's a door, and I'm opening the door like, and it's not opening. And I looked at the lady far back, and I said, it's not working. And she says, oh, one sec. So she comes over, she gives me her like key, and she taps the door. I didn't tap the door. I just tried to like manhandle the door open. So she lets me in. I walk onto the platform, and I'm there for like 45 minutes, an hour, just walking up and down, taking pictures of the cars, different like little like B-roll of the train from like higher up, from like ground level, all this kind of stuff. And I just thought like, wow, like dressed the part, and they just let me walk around like I own the place. Like I worked there for a year.
I had no idea I was doing a podcast with Frank Abagnale from Catch Me If You Can. I had no idea.
Well, now you know.
Are you even a goaltender in the Federal Prospects Hockey League?
I'm a goaltender who is injured and needs to post something because I can't skate and travel a lot and this kind of stuff.
Is that mullet even real?
It is real. It does. I actually just put some paste in it about 20 minutes ago. Hopefully it's looking good.
Listen, we talked before. Walk in like you own the place and you can get further than you ever thought you would. But that's scary on a couple different levels because I'm assuming those jackets don't get handed out to just anybody. And the fact that it got you through the gate on that one, that is a federally mandated industry. And I'm sure that person would get in a heap of trouble if they found out that happened. That's incredible.
I was actually, I spent my 40, 45 minutes walking up and down the platform. Then I go to leave and I go back to the same door and I'm trying to figure out like, where is the key? Because I know that I need the key to open the door and I have the key on me. And I can't find the tapping thing. And because obviously there's border security at the train station, one of the border security officers comes up to me and says, need a hand? I said, yeah, sure. And he just taps it, the door opens. And I look back at him and I said, oh, long weekend, man. It was a tough night last night. And then I just walk on and carry through. But it was interesting. No, for the record, nobody got hurt.
The
only thing that happened was I took my camera, I took some nice pictures of the cars and nice pictures of the locomotives and stocked up on some B-roll video for the travel vlog I'm working on for the end of March, beginning of April when I go back home to Winnipeg for a week. And that was basically that.
Did you grab a couple of free tickets behind the counter while you're there or what?
If it wasn't nailed down, I did try to take it, yes. Speaking of which, outside of the train station, there's this place called Donair Dude. They have like nice Donairs. And so I was a little hungry. The garlic sauce. Mm-hmm. Everybody, Donair sauce on the house tonight.
Yes, flute.
Doug is my best customer. You know what? Donair on the house. Everybody tonight. Yeah, they start clapping. Don't get excited, everybody. Don't get excited. Donair sauce on the house. Donair sauce. Water down the Donair sauce. But so I'm at this Donair place. And obviously, around the train station in downtown Vancouver, there's an opioid crisis. And there's a lot of drug users around the area. And I walk out of the Donair Dude place. And I got deja vu. It was like opening my Instagram messages because I opened the door and there's this guy right outside the door and he's yelling every obscenity, calling me every name in the book, and he's just staring at the window. Like as I walk around him, he keeps yelling at how much he hates me, and I was like, wow, this is just like opening my Instagram messages every morning. Like, wow, okay, we'll carry on here. But yeah, that was my train endeavors the other day.
Wow, unbelievable. Okay, so hang on. Whoa. I'm going to go back to my Peter Griffin preparatory here. Whoa. What's going on with Via? If I had to guess why you maybe had a falling out with Via, would it happen to be the part of the vlog where you said if you sit and coach, you're going to get fed prison food?
No. Well, that might be. Actually,
well, you got away with that one.
Yeah, well, so if we're being honest, and apologies, this is not a train podcast, just a couple interesting stories for you, but...
I feel like Sheldon from Big Bang Theory. Trains? We're talking trains? I want to talk trains. Put in with flags, everybody.
I made an Instagram account maybe like a year and a half ago, just posting my favorite photos and videos of the train that I had, because I had so much stuff stocked up. Because like when I stock up on a video for like B-roll footage, I have lots. Like there's no shortage of it. And so I thought, why let it just go to waste and sit on a hard drive? I'll make an Instagram account. I know there's lots of train nerds out there. I'll just start posting it out there. And so I started posting out there, and then eventually I ran out of stuff. And then I was in Sweden, so I was like, oh, I'll just start reposting anything I can find on the internet. So I started finding all these other pictures and videos that I could find. And then I ended up getting in shit from Via. They're like, well, you're posting this stuff without people's permission. These are other photographers' photos. And I'm like, dude, I got like 200 followers. Like, relax. It's not like I'm making money off this or stuff. I'm just a nerd who's passionate about trains. And long story short, they got really mad about that. And they blocked me on everything. And so that's basically that.
On that account? Or is this after your whole relationship with them?
Everything. So I'm blocked on all social media. And I actually did throw in an application to be a... ambassador for Via, and they declined it and said these reasons are why we are not interested, and best of luck. And I actually sent an email about 2 weeks ago. I said, hey, could you unblock me? I love the train. I'd love to see what's going on. They're like, actually, you will remain blocked for the future.
Sorry, you know, you send them a picture with your conductor jacket on going, hey, I demand a little more respect. I got a conductor jacket here. Come on, look at the toque. Look at the jacket.
And there's the lawsuit coming in. Do you hear that, Dave? That's my lawyer. 1 minute.
Did you end up with a free ticket? Did I hear a free ticket in there somewhere?
Yes. So in my train community, I promise this is the last train story. We'll move on to some actual hockey talk here. In my train community, I ended up talking with a gentleman by the name of Ross Johnson. Now, Ross owns the record for the most amount of time spent like traveling on the Canadian. He's done 136 journeys, Vancouver to Toronto. Incredible, the fact that you could spend that much time on a train.
Wow.
And so Ross and I were talking the other day, and he says, hey, when are you traveling on the Canadian next? I says, oh, end of March. He says, oh, how do you travel? I was like, well, I would like to travel in cabin, but I can't afford that, so maybe a berth. I mean, economy is the most affordable, but it's kind of tough with the prison food. And he says, are you firm on the dates? I says, yep. And he says, okay, I just booked you a ticket. And I was like, what? You just booked me a $1,000 train ticket? Like, why? And so he sends me a screenshot of the confirmation. I said, okay, send me the email. He sends me the email. I take a look. It looks legit. It comes from the legitimate VIA email, like confirmation address. And so I was like, this guy's got to be pranking me. So I call VIA. I call the 1-800 number. And I give them the information. They're like, yes, sir. Yep, Travis Ridgen is traveling. Yep, March 27th on the VIA from Vancouver to Winnipeg in this class. Here's your seat and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, this man just bought me a $1,000 ticket out of the goodness out of his heart. I said, why? And he's like, I just wanted to make your day and pay it forward. So enjoy your trip, make a great video, and just give me a shout out if you can. I was like, done deal.
Wow. So, now, I'm thinking because that guy likely has a lot of traveling points, probably didn't cost him a dime. He's probably got so many points stocked up that he has to use before a certain amount of time. And he's like, this seems like it's worth it. Amazing. It's still a very generous offer and a very generous follow through, but that it probably didn't cost him anything because he's got points added up. I would assume. I could be wrong on that.
That's actually exactly what he said. I asked him, yeah. I said, why did you spend your hard-earned money to give me a ticket? And he said, actually, I spent just as much as you did on this. I have so many points. It was free. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. So to Ross, thank you very much. That's half my way home in March. And yeah, I'm really excited to train.
Now watch. Here's 25 years of radio experience working. I'm going to transition from trains back into hockey. You ready? Here we go.
Yes.
We're going to switch tracks over here. I was a little bit worried earlier this week when on Thursday night, the Winnipeg Jets were playing their first of four road games, and the first one is in Columbus, Ohio. Now, this is a week outside of the train crash that happened in East Palestine, Ohio, which is right on the Pennsylvania border, border of Pennsylvania and Ohio. If you didn't know, a massive train derailment. They were hauling extremely, extremely dangerous chemicals. And the EPA decided that they were going to do a controlled burn on this thing rather than clean it up and have it soak into the ground. And this giant mushroom cloud goes up in the air, and they went, oh, that probably wasn't the best idea. Like giant, like nuclear-sized mushroom cloud that just starts spreading throughout the air. Horrible. To the point where they showed on a map, if you live in this area, this is a red zone. You cannot stay there. It could mean death. If you're in the yellow zone, your skin may start melting. And I thought to myself, whoa, Jets are playing in Columbus on Thursday night. How far away is that? So it's about a three-hour drive southwest from East Palestine, which is a tiny little village like right on the Pennsylvania-Ohio border. But as I was looking at the map, I didn't realize how close Pittsburgh is to that. Like, that's a major center. I know you're looking at your map right now to try and figure it out, but people at home or people that are listening to the pod or whatever, it's amazing to me that they haven't done more damage control for people in general. But even the NHL is like, yeah, go ahead. All good. Keep on.
Well, let's be honest. There's a lot of money on the line if they cancel the game. I mean, the ticket sales alone at the gate are, what do they make on average? $2 to $4 million a night? You can't cancel that, God forbid.
Right. I mean, even Cleveland up the road, you know, with the Cavaliers and all the sports that they have there. But it's just really, really, really scary stuff. And again, you talk about the traveling circus. It's just like, hey, get on the bus and shut up.
It's okay. We're only going to be here for 3 hours. We're going to get the 3 points, or sorry, 2 points in the National League. And we're going to get back on the PJ and hop on the bird and get out of here.
There was 3,500 fish that washed up on shore in the Ohio River. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. But they're like, drinking water should be fine. Everything is okay. I'm okay with this. This is fine.
You seen the Simpsons movie when Homer Simpson goes fishing and he throws the car battery in a lake and zaps all the fish and they all come to the top?
Fishing with dynamite, man. There's a reason why that's a thing.
It's like fishing in a barrel full of dynamite. It's not even fair.
All right, let's transition into actual more hockey talk here. Let's go.
Yes. Okay. So our headliner for this week. This was highly requested by one player specifically in the SIJHL Junior A in Ontario, the Superior International Junior Hockey League, and a couple other people periodically. But today's headliner is going to be the very short, luxurious 16 minutes I spent playing in Erie Falls, Ontario, for the English River Miners. Now, the English River Miners have since been moved to Red Lake, where they are now the Red Lake Miners. Now,
that's this closer is in to the Manitoba border.
Red Lake would be further away from the border. So okay. Erie Falls was about a 4.5-5 hour drive from Winnipeg when I went there. And so this is November of 2014. I'm at home. I had just been cut from the Winnipeg Satellites Junior B, not really doing anything, working full time. My dad was in Thunder Bay at the time, and he met some guy at a mall kiosk in Thunder Bay who told him that the English River Miners goaltending sucks and they could use a goalie. And so my dad calls me and says, hey, I was just told this by this random man at a mall kiosk. You should give them a call. And I thought, okay, it sounds pretty credible, right? I'm sure a guy working the mall kiosk selling
guy
flip
at the mall,
phones.
Count me in.
He's got to know what he's talking about. So I call up the guy in charge with the English River Miners, said, hey, my name's Travis Ridgen. This is, you know, my resume and whatnot. And this is like right, I'd say, before Elite Prospects became a huge. Like, I think there was a little bit of like BSing I could have done. But so anyway, so he tells me, okay, so you're a goaltender? Yep. You played high school hockey last year in AAA before that? Yeah, yeah. Here's a scouting tape. Okay. Do you want to come down next week? I was like, okay, sure. He's like, well, we'll cut our backup goalie. You can come on down. It's like, great. And the backup goalie just played in the SJ, like in the Saskatchewan Junior League for the Nipawin Hawks, before he came out to English River. So this guy had never seen me. Just I cold called him up on the phone, and he says, I'm going to cut my backup goalie. You come on down, and you're going to be my new backup goalie. I said, okay, deal. Sounds like a good idea. And so pack my stuff, head on down to English River, or Erie Falls, I should say. Now, Erie Falls is a town of about, at the time, I don't know what it is now, but at the time it was about 800 to 900 people, give or take. Very, very, very small town. And we played at this arena called the Ice Box. It was freezing. I liked the ice. The ice was very firm, but they called it the Ice Box because it was so cold. You would be freezing on the bench as the backup goalie.
Now, I remember a barn like that in St. Paul, Alberta, where it was so cold, honestly, like dudes' lips were blue skating around. I love those rinks.
Yeah. Now, our head coach was our head of hockey director or director of hockey operations, our head coach, our general manager, our director of scouting. He was also the town mayor, and he owned a monopoly of every gas station in town. So if you were driving your vehicle, you went through him. And his name was Kevin Cahoot. And now, so Kevin was a second-year coach because this is the second year of the franchise. The previous year, they'd won, I think, 15 games, and then this year we ended up winning like 10 of 50 or whatever it was. Now, so I'm the backup goalie. I'm backing up. And I think I was on the bench for 7, 8, 9 games in a row, not a sniff. Sounds very familiar, right? And so I think we got waxed 10-4 one game. We're up 4-0 after the first period. We're going to win a game for the first time in a month and a half. We're up 4-0. And then, boom, we give up 8 goals in the second period. So we ended up losing 10-4. And I'm thinking, man, I've been sitting on the bench rotting here for, I don't know, like 3 weeks. I'm going to walk in the coach's office, tell him I want to start. I think I can get the job done. I can't give up more than 10 goals. We've been giving up 8 to 10 every single game. So it could be worse. Exactly, says me. So I walk into his office, you know. Hey, coach, I just want to talk. What's up? And as I walk in, I open the door, I walk into his office. And there's like all these empty like Busch Light cans on his office desk. And at this moment, I was like, there's no way I come out of this office not getting a favorable decision in my way. And I said, coach, I want to start next game. I think I can make a difference. He says, you know what? You're right. You're starting next game.
Ask and thou shalt receive.
Literally. I remember walking out of the room thinking, damn, I should have done this earlier. If I would have known he was a raging alcoholic, I would have done this way sooner than this.
And now, I want $1,000 a month.
And I want your wife too.
You know what? So, great idea.
You can own the team. Take it. I don't care. I don't need it. You want to be mayor too while you're at it? So
I'll trade you for a pack of Busch Light.
If I can get one more Busch Light, that'd be great. So I get the start, and the next start is we ended up playing, I think, 2 or 3 games a year in Red Lake. So Red Lake is about an hour away, a town of 5,000 people. And now, for whatever reason, the team played in Erie Falls, town of 900 people, but I lived in Red Lake, an hour away, town of 5,000 people. I'd say about 3/4 of all the guys lived in Red Lake. So we were driving an hour there, an hour back every day for practice and for games. Didn't really make much sense. But so we're playing in Red Lake, and I'm getting a start, my first start in junior hockey, against the Dryden Ice Dogs, who at the time were the best team in the league. So if getting waxed, 10-4 against the Minnesota Iron Rangers, the second worst team in the league, was bad, now I really have my hands full tonight. And so I get off to a hot start, nice breakaway save, nice pad save on a breakaway, stop a 2-on-1, kill a power play early. Like, I'm feeling really good. They score a goal. It was a penalty kill 6 minutes into the game. Second penalty of the night. Backdoor, bury it, okay, whatever. Second goal, kind of guy shoots in the slot. I kind of get a blocker shoulder on it. I had no idea where it was. Ends up bouncing up off my back and in. 5-on-3, make a save on the one side. One-timer rebound on the other side in. And then fourth goal, I believe it was another penalty kill. Pucks behind the net, centering pass, boom, just shovels it in, wide open net. And so I got the yank. And so that was my junior career right there. We're down 4-0 at that point in time. Might have been 4-1. And I think we ended up going on to lose 9-2, 9-3, whatever it was. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. And so that was the only game that I played in English River. And the stories that happened after this game, I think, are some of the best. Now, I want to remind you that our head coach, Kevin Cahoot, he was let go after this season. But so he was GM, head coach, director of hockey operations, director of scouting, our town mayor, and monopoly owner of all the gas stations in town. Now, his daughter was dating our team captain and leading scorer. So Eric Champlain was his name. He was a really cool guy from the interactions I had with him. I think at Christmas time he had like 30 something points, and the next closest was like 10. So like he was the heart and soul of the team. At Christmas, Mr. Cahoot traded Eric away 15 hours away to the Sudbury Nickel Wolves or Nickel Beavers, whatever it was in Sudbury. And I just couldn't imagine telling your daughter, "Listen, honey, Merry Christmas. I traded your boyfriend away to Sudbury. Have a good night."
Wow. It was a roster move. It was a roster move. And because you're my daughter, and I would do anything to protect you. But it was a roster move.
I don't have any facts to back that up. But all I know is that he was there at the team before Christmas with me, and he was a really good player, and he dated his daughter, and at Christmas time, he was shipped out. So I don't know why or what, but
okay, yeah. I'm going to validate that story. So a buddy of mine was playing in Olds in the junior, the AJHL. Now, he was from Olds. Pardon me. He was from Olds, and he ended up playing in the Western Hockey League. His billet had a daughter. Not only did they start dating, they're married now, and they have 3 kids. That kind of thing, if sometimes it works out. He is one of the rarities, but that's the kind of thing that can happen sometimes.
There's 3 rules in hockey. Don't touch the coach's daughter and or the marketing lady. Don't touch my Percocets. And do you have any Percocets?
I was in that movie.
Yes, you were. You were the director, or not the director, the play-by-play broadcaster for Goon. By the way,
the Sports Center guy.
Goon 1, better than Goon 2. The second never lived up to it, but I think it's because of the broadcaster. I think. If you haven't watched Goon, you got to go watch and see Mr. Dave Wheeler.
They replaced me with Duffy from TSN. Come on.
I like the first guy better.
Yeah.
Right. I would like to point out, though, our head coach, Kevin Cahoot, although he was very lubricated during that confrontation when I told him I wanted to start, still not as bad as I went to a Trailer Park Boys show with Randy, Randy from the Trailer Park Boys.
Yep.
Randy's Christmas special. That was the last thing I did in Detroit before I left. And he was not as waffled as Randy, because Randy was like falling all over the stage. I went to go get a picture with him, and I said, "Hey, Randy, really liked the show." And he almost falls over backwards, does like a backflip off the stage. He's so waffled. Doesn't even know where he is. But I'll throw a clip on the screen for the video version of the show with Randy. But yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you a quick story about a handful of coaches that I had. And this really did come full circle for me, and I actually got closure on this one. We all had our suspicions that are a handful of our coaches, not all of them, but a handful of our coaches were like some pretty regular pot smokers, okay? Like really regular pot smokers. To the point where they would come in smelling like weed in between periods sometimes. And I remember one time, one of them leans up against the wall. He's like, I think we're down by like 4 goals. And he's like, "Guys, lighten up. Put on some Pink Floyd." That was a piece of evidence number 1. So it got to the point where we were on, I think it was like a year-end road trip. The last game, we weren't making playoffs. You know, we knew we were done after this. And we're in the hotel, and everyone's kind of partying, right? And so we're out in the balcony, and we're having a couple of beer. And we're like, oh, man, it smells like pot. And we look over the balcony, and we see one of the coaches doing this. Oh, shit. And he pulls his head back in. And it's like, that's where the weed's coming from. So we had... That was like the closest that we got to confirmation that, you know, a couple of our coaches were pot smokers. No big deal. But keep in mind, this is back in the 90s. About 2007, I'm working with the Manitoba Moose, and I'm doing my man in the stands thing, right? So I'm the guy up on the jumbo. For those new to the show, I used to work with True North Sports and Entertainment, the Jets and whatnot. I did this with the Calgary Hitmen. I did this with a bunch of different teams. And I'm up on the screen, and all of a sudden, one of the, because I've got like promotion assistants who run around and throw out t-shirts and that kind of stuff, they run over to me with a note. And it says, hey, Ned Flanders is in section 102 or 126, row 12, seat 5. I'm like, huh. The only guy I knew that called himself Ned Flanders, well, we called him Ned Flanders, was our defense coach that year that I'm making reference to. Honest to God, spitting image. Imagine Ned Flanders in real life, full mustache, glasses, the hair up a little bit. Wonderful human being.
Hey, diddly, hey, neighborino.
Totally. Totally. And the guy was like straight as an arrow. So I go over. Sure enough, it's him. Big hugs. How are you? Haven't talked to him in maybe a decade and a bit. So it's like, hey, after I'm done, do you got time? We'll go have a beer. He's like, absolutely. So we go and have a beer. Just, you know, about his kid, and, you know, what did this guy do? What did this guy do? And if you talk to this person, that person said, by the way, what are you doing in town? He goes, oh, my daughter's dating one of the guys on the Rochester Americans. Oh, that's what brought you into town. Cool. He's like, yeah, we decided to make the trip. They were close to Canada. And I asked him, I said, hey, can I ask you a question? Do you know that the rest of the coaching staff was smoking pot? He's like, what? Excuse me? I was like, come on, Ned, come on. You be straight with me now. We're both adults. I'm not calling the police or anything. I'm just curious to know. You had to know that, you know, like you guys were smoking pot. He's like, I've never smoked pot in my entire life. And that's the honest to God's truth. I had no idea those guys were smoking pot, which just gave me even more credence that we gave him the greatest nickname in the world, Ned Flanders, just completely oblivious to everything else that was going on. But it's amazing to me sometimes. You just don't know some of the, I'm going to call it a demon, but some of the things that you hide from your team or from your players or from your coaching staff, and that's just kind of the thing that you do to get through the day.
You've seen the Family Guy clip where Peter says, I think it was to Lois when they first started dating or whatever girl he's dating at the time, he says, don't worry, honey, I'm amazing with parent interactions. And hi, Peter, nice to see you. Hi, Peter Griffin, I'm nailing your daughter. And then it's an immediate cutaway of them back at the apartment, and you could tell she's pissed, and he's like, so that could have gone better.
Yeah.
It definitely could have gone a little bit better than it did.
Oh, God love that show. God love that show. Hey, I'm not saying we're getting to the end, but we're getting close here. Do we have any more sponsors today that we got to squeeze in here? We already talked about Sheath. Thank you again to Sheath. God, man, honestly, you take care of my boys, and I love you to death.
Yep. No extra sponsors for the week.
Well, we need one. Let's go.
We're looking for them. We're looking for some more sponsors. But if you are a Patreon member, perk to all the Patreon members, it's $5 a month to join. You get a copy of these rookie cards from Motor City in Sweden, as you'll see on the video screen here on the video version. If you're on Apple or Spotify, I will just
grab them. Got mine in the mail, by the way. Got mine in the mail at the studio down at Polo Park. Yeah, got a whole handful of them.
Did Tyler open them for you? Or
I opened them. Are you kidding me?
Oh, you opened
them? I'm not going to let Tyler touch those.
What do you think?
Oh, man, they're incredible. And you know what? The signature is perfect every single time.
Oh. Oh, thank you. It's very imperfect. It depends on the chicken scratch I'm using today. But to describe them to you, it's a nice close-up of my face from the right angle, and then a nice T-push back to my post as they're, I think this is right before they scored on me in Watertown. And then a nice little picture in Sweden. So that's a perk for all the members as well. But yeah, if you want to support us on the Patreon page, it helps keep the podcast going. And yeah, that's the only
favorite hockey cards of all time, and it's the first one that popped into my head, and you'll appreciate this. It was an Upper Deck set. It probably would have been mid-90s, and it wasn't even the front of the card, it was the back. So they condensed, like, I used to remember the old Apeachy cards where they would give you, sometimes they had to do like tiny font just to put in all of the guy's years that he's played. Upper Deck decided to condense that a little bit and just kind of give you the last 3 years or 4 years as far as stats go. And then they would have like a very vertical photo along, like you turn the hockey card sideways and you'd read the stats, and then along the top was a photo. And it's an overhead shot of Chris Terreri going full ballerina in his crease, warming up, like full splits all the way down. And his back is down. You can see Terreri on the top, and it's got that old classic red and green New Jersey Devils logo on. One of the coolest shots. I remember, like, what a great angle. I mean, nowadays you can get drone shots, but back in the, you know, the mid-90s, it was hard-pressed to get a shot like that. Google it if you can.
Well, next year in the Fed, when whatever team I'm with is in Binghamton, if you're the team photographer or whatnot, I'm going to work on a little bit of hip flexibility as I rehab this injury. And if we can get that same angle, we can replicate it. That'd be cool. Get a nice hockey card for next season.
Give everyone an update. Where are you at?
Things are going really well. So I had physio the other day. And so I was supposed to be doing single leg deadlifts with support. So having my other leg to support the single leg deadlift because we're not at the point of doing it on its own. I didn't listen to that, not because I was ignoring it, but it didn't register in my mind that that's what I was supposed to do. When I think of a single leg deadlift, I just think of doing it as is. And so I was doing them all last week. I go to physio on Monday, and my physio guy, Derek, he says, why are you doing them single legged with no support? And he's like, well, that's what I was doing. And he's like, wow, we are significantly ahead of schedule from what we should be. And it's a great feeling that, like, although most of the work is done in the sense of, like, when I was basically a vegetable, I'm on crutches, I can't really do much, I'm bored out of my mind because I'm just sitting in a chair all day, now to the point where I'm doing butterflies, I'm doing lunges, I'm doing squats, I'm doing all this kind of stuff. And, like, I can just a little bit, I can taste getting back on the ice. And realistically speaking, I should be back on the ice just in skates in about 5 weeks, 5 to 6 weeks just for skates. And hopefully, knock on wood, in 8 weeks or less, I'm going to be in full gear. It's not going to be the most exciting thing. It's going to be very basic level skating. And the next month after that's going to be kind of a little bit of a speed bump period where we run into some issues with my body being like, what is this? Like there was like a terrorist attack going on inside my hip because it doesn't remember how to do goaltending. But once we get past that, 3 to 4 weeks after, it should be smooth sailing. And that's the timeline we're on right now. And Dave, I can't tell you how excited I am to just like, so in my head, and to explain this to all the people that listen to the vlog, when I talk about like, I have a vision in my head of the goaltender that I can be. And the reason, what I mean behind that is basically, so I know what I'm capable of. Like I, mentally, I'm very tough. I don't allow like other things to bother me. And a lot of that is just from training with like YouTube. And like I mentioned earlier, the guy at the Donair shop cussing me out and, you know, people in my Instagram messages every single day. It builds a lot of mental toughness. And so I just focus on what's it going to take to get results and make saves. And now that 6'5" goaltender, healthy, every injury I've ever had in my life has been in my right surgically repaired hip and has been a result of what the surgery fixed. Now I have more motion than I've ever had before. I have double the internal rotation on my surgery side than my left side. Like things are just starting to come to fruition. And there's this vision of a goaltender in my head that I know I can become. And I want to will that into reality and show everybody like, this is what I've been talking about. This is what I mean when I say, I know I can be a top three goalie in the Fed. I know I can be a difference maker. Yeah, I need, you know, 8 to 10 games to kind of like make some changes to my actual technical game. But when I get that and when I'm healthy, which is going to happen very, very shortly, I'm going to be unstoppable. And I want to do that. And I want to show everybody like, this is what I've been talking about all these years. This is the goaltender that I can become. And I believe is going to be a huge asset for whoever takes me on for next year.
Okay, walk me through this from a business standpoint. Does that mean that you're game shape when training camp rolls around, regardless if it's the Motor City Rockers or wherever else?
100%. I will be, the plan is June will be 100% skating. And then by July, balls to the wall. We are good. We are ready to roll. Everything is as scheduled. And we are ready for training camp September 1st if I go back to Europe, or October 1st if I go back to the Fed. I don't know where. I don't know what's happening. I got a text from... I got a text from a GM in the league the other day that said, hey, we are going to sign you the second the season's done. So just so you know, mentally prepare for that. I said, okay, great. And then obviously I got a text from another person in the league that wants to make a trade for my rights because they want to make me the highest paid goalie in the league, which is hard to believe at 125. Like, how much more can they pay the guy? 135? What, do you want some food stamps and a Walmart gift card?
You know what? But, you may break the poverty line there. The highest paid guy in the league? Woo, there's the poverty line. There's Travis.
Travis Ridgen is the Bobby Hall of Fed Zeno. He signed for a jacket, and it was the first $1 million contract in the Fed Zeno.
And we signed him right on the corner of 8 Mile. Bobby Hull, by the way, famously Bobby Hull signed at Portage in Maine, one of those famous intersections in Canada. Look it up.
So Travis re-signed with the Motor City Rockers, and unfortunately, because they signed at 8 Mile, the GM and the head coach both got shot in the head, but Travis made out alive because it was such a dangerous area.
Because he stopped it. Saved everyone.
For the record, for those listening, I'm not wishing that our management gets shot. I know that people like to assume these crazy things in the podcast. I'm just saying it's a very dangerous area. Just that's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
Nothing but love. Nothing but love from my heart to the Motor City Rocker. For Christ's sake, I wear this stuff every single episode. Every single week we do an episode, I'm wearing this. Exactly. Like I wouldn't wear it if I hated the team and I hated everybody.
I'm still waiting for my delivery of that stuff, for crying out loud. I think it's a great logo. It actually reminds me a lot of the old Calgary Hitmen logo. Or the same Calgary Hitmen logo.
It looks... you know, right, there actually may be a copyright lawsuit on the way now that you mention that.
Similarities. Before we wrap up here, it happened earlier on this week, but Alex Ovechkin is going... he missed the... as long as everything stays true to form, from what I understand, he missed the stadium series in Carolina and Raleigh between the Caps and Carolina because his father passed away, Mikhail Ovechkin, 71 years old. Big supporter, was always around the rink in Washington, always, you know, happy to talk to fans. A former pro soccer player, taxi driver as well, did whatever he could to make sure his son could still skate, and was just there with Alex all along the way. And that's a little young to lose somebody. So my heart goes out to the Ovechkin family.
Yeah, that's tough. One last note. We got two things on the docket if we can fit them in before we finish. We got about 10 minutes or less here. Trevor Bauer. I know you mentioned Trevor Bauer on the on your radio show might have been a week or two ago.
Yeah, but so this is a guy on YouTube. I love him. He's basically a pro baseball player who decided to put a lot of armchair quarterbacks, for lack of a better term, to the test and saying, oh, yeah, you think you can hit a screwball coming at you at 88 miles an hour? Sure. Come on out. Let's hit the diamond. Let's see if you can hit it.
Hold on, for the record, though, we're talking about a Cy Young winning pitcher. We're not just talking about any guy. We're talking like a Vezina winner of baseball, Trevor Bauer is.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, my question for you basically was, do you think he's ever going to pitch again in Major League Baseball? Because despite all the allegations, so he was suspended for, I believe, somebody in the comment section, correct me if I'm wrong, he was suspended for 300 games for the domestic assault on the woman he was hooking up with at the time, and then it was reduced to 170 games, or might have been 150 games, which is, I know it sounds like a lot, but that's basically one baseball season as opposed to two, because they play so many games. They play two games in 2 days, or in 1 day sometimes. So no team has signed him, because the Dodgers released him. They terminated his contract, so he's a free agent. He's still making his YouTube videos. He's not pitching anywhere. I think Trevor Bauer is like one of the most interesting guys in baseball. I love watching his videos. I think he has got a very addictive personality, in the sense of like, I just can't stop watching him. He doesn't follow this like corporate formula. He doesn't give you the same bullshit that everybody else does. And he's just an exciting guy. Like I hope, for the sake of my YouTube subscriptions inbox and my own personal mental health, I hope that Trevor Bauer pitches again in the Major League Baseball, because I love watching him play.
Okay, well, let me put it this way. If he did what he did, and it sounds like he did, that's awful, terrible. You were an awful human being in that moment, and if that was a pattern of behavior, you're just an awful human being. But I still believe in redemption. I believe in redemption, and if somebody can turn themselves around and turn that bad behavior into good behavior, then I absolutely think that he should have an opportunity, especially if he's still got the arm and he can help a team go out and play. I think he should have every opportunity to do so, as long as he's been able to right those wrongs. But I will spin it into another situation where you've got a guy like Austin Matthews, who before the season started exposed himself in front of a female security guard before the season started, and that got swept under the rug pretty quick because he's Austin Matthews. Leafs come out and said, we're aware of the situation, we're very, very sorry, you know, this is not the way we have our players conduct themselves. And all of a sudden, it's not covered nearly as much as some of these other violations, these morality violations or legal violations that are made when it comes to professional athletes. So, again, everyone deserves redemption. I think we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. And as long as we learn from them and move on, I think we should allow for a little more forgiveness. To forgive is divine.
Now, there's two parts to it. Now, one, like you just mentioned, Dave, if he did do what he's being accused of, which is, you know, sexual assault and just like taking advantage of this lady, if this is the case, like you said, terrible human being, and I retract what I said previously. However, from what it appears from my perspective, everybody's in agreement that what happened did happen, but he's shared lots of things of her consenting to these things and that she was on board with it. So again, no charges have been laid, and it's just basically in the eye of public opinion of like, here's some information from both sides. I'd like to lean towards supporting Trevor Bauer because I do like him, but at the same time, I'd like to compare him almost like to a Michael Jackson in the sense of
That's a stretch. Careful where you're going here on this train. Switch tracks. Be careful.
Hold on. No, here's the reason why. Who is Michael Jackson's agent, his manager? Oh, I can't remember his name.
I'm going to look it up real quick.
Okay. So his manager said to him, Michael, the reason that the press is always after you is because they believe you're crazy. Frank DeLeo. Okay. So Michael, people could believe if there's a picture of a giraffe's head on your body because you're the circus. And I would say when you compare Trevor Bauer to the rest of pro sports and baseball, he kind of is that circus. Like when things like this come up, because he's kind of a little bit of a weirdo, you probably believe it, if that makes sense. He's kind of an outsider. There's a little short film on his experience through high school baseball, through college baseball, through pro sports, how he just typically hasn't been very liked by his teammates and all these other types of things. Kind of been a loner, not a lot of friends. And that personality type would, I guess, make you believe that, okay, that if these crazy things are coming out about him, they got to be true. Now, again, I would like to state that I'm not choosing sides because nothing has been, nobody's been charged, but I do find his videos entertaining. I think he's a very interesting personality, and I'd like to see more of it on YouTube and in my subscriptions box.
Well, look at it this way. There's a really old book that was written by a bunch of Hebrews that some people choose to follow and some people don't, and whatever you do, that's totally fine with me. But there are some really good lessons in there, and one of them is let he who was without sin cast the first stone.
So if you didn't make a mistake, let him cast the first stone?
And who can say that they've never made a mistake in their life? Different levels. I'm not saying, you know, like one isn't worse than the other, but I'm saying we've all made mistakes in our lives, and a lot of us have had an opportunity to correct those and learn from them.
And I guess the only man that hasn't would be God, not to get too religious.
Oh, no, he made mistakes. Listen, if you wanted to get into the theology of the whole Bible and everything, there's books that have been left out. I'll give you really quickly here. There is a book that was omitted from the Bible called the Book of Thomas, and this is a guy that grew up with Jesus. Like, he was like a Harry Potter type character. Like, he would freeze birds in the middle of the sky and turn them into stone and have them fall down. He'd push his friends off of roofs and they'd die. And he'd be like, all right, fine, you're back to life. Like, really incredible stuff, and they just omitted it because it just seemed like there's no way people are going to believe this kind of stuff from a child. There is a lot of stuff that has been omitted in that amazing book that is like this thick, but yeah, we can talk about that another time. And even he made mistakes.
Well, God made things the way that he did. I mean, it's why you're here. It's why I'm here. It's why this podcast is here. And whatever side you swing on, the final thing that we'll leave you with, because we got less than 10 minutes left here, is big goaltenders. Size matters. Size does matter in the National Hockey League and in professional sports. My goalie coach reminds me all the time that my beautiful girlfriend, Victoria, is 6 feet tall. I know she hates hearing it. She says she's 5'11". Honey, you're a liar. You're 6 feet, and I love it.
Own it.
You're beautiful. You're 6 feet. I love it. You got those nice long legs, and you're just a beautiful soul. Anyway, she is 6 feet. I am 6'5". My goaltender, goalie coach, Pascal Vallana, reminds me all the time, if you produce a 6'8" child, I can take that and put that in the National Hockey League. Just give me a 6'8" goaltender. They will draft him. That's all you need to do is just give me that, and I can make it happen. The reason I bring this up, that's a reference from last week's podcast. Reason I bring this up, last week we talked about the top 30 goaltenders in the National Hockey League. Only three of the top 30 goalies, save percentage-wise, of starters were 6'1" or shorter. I got some new stats for you because people going crazy. The top 40 goalies in wins in the National Hockey League this season. Again, top 40 in wins. Doesn't matter how many games you played. If you won the most games, if you won in the top 40 amount of goaltenders, you're in this stat. Of the top 40 goalies, one is 6'6", six or 6'5", 10 are 6'4", 8 are 6'3", 11 are 6'2", and only 4 are 6'1" or shorter. Those being Igor Shesterkin, Alexander Georgiev, Antti Raanta, and Juuse Saros.
If you were the goaltender for the Boston Bruins, if you were Jeremy Swayman, you would probably get 40 wins too. A lot of times, I know it tells a story, but it doesn't always tell the story about the team that's in front of you either.
I absolutely agree. Goaltending is It's the most influential position in sport, but at the end of the day, you are only a byproduct of your environment. If your defense is great, I mean, look at the LA Kings. You look at you know, one of my idols from my childhood, Jonathan Quick. You had a great defensive core and structure in front of him. You win two Stanley Cups. You go to a Western Conference final. You have a great three-year dynasty. And now where the defense maybe ain't so great, it's kind of tough to even get back into the playoffs. The Leafs, the Oilers, great examples. But Jeremy Swayman at 6'2". He is the backup to Linus Ullmark. By the way, I just want to say, last week you corrected me on saying his name. I said Linus from Sweden, and you said Linus. Now, I spent 2 years in Sweden, Dave. I wanted to not have a confrontation on the podcast, but his name is Linus.
Well, listen, if we're going to get that technical, it's a Patrick Lane. Patrick Lane. You know, it's
Finland.
We Americanize it so it sounds a little easier. Remember Miroslav Shatan?
Yes.
Last name was Satan. Let's just call it what it is. His name was, nope, can't have that. Shatan. Yes, he is Shatan.
I don't think he did himself any justice when he had the goatee and he had the eyebrows to kind of look like the devil as well. Like, it was just a tough look, especially for the New York Islanders.
Should have traded him to the Devils, let's be honest. That would have been amazing. Talk about marketing.
That's the only thing that was missing. That was great. But yeah, anyway, just a friendly reminder that four of the top 40 goaltenders and wins in the National Hockey League were 6'1" or shorter. I don't think that anything is changing anytime soon. The short goalie is not making a comeback, and the reason being is that when you draft a goaltender at 18, 19, 20, to when they come to fruition in that 26, 27, 28 ballpark, we're talking about an 8 to 10 year span. So much can change in that period of time. I mean, scouts and GMs aren't looking for what's going to come to me in 10 years. They're looking to keep their job for the next 2 years, and what keeps their job is, hey, I drafted a huge goaltender. A lot can change. They're not shrinking, and they're not growing.
Speaking of not shrinking, this podcast is certainly not shrinking, and we appreciate everyone who's tuning in. Do me a favor. It's really simple. We're not asking a lot of you. You ain't paying for this thing. So go down there and rate and review the podcast. Not just give it, you know, however many stars you think it's worth. Just write a little something. Just write down, like, meh, or yay, or I really like this, or it's average at best. Just write something down there, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts. That helps out a lot more. And sign up to be a Patreon member. There's a lot of benefits down there.
Or for my girlfriend, leave a review and remind me that I need to trim my unibrow later tonight because it's kind of getting a little woolly. But anyway, yes, if you're on Apple or Spotify, leave a review. We'd appreciate it. If you're on the YouTube video version, hit the subscribe button because 70% of the people that listen to this podcast are not subscribed. So please hit the button so you get updates for our weekly podcast that goes up every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern. By the way, for the record, I've been lying to everybody for 29 episodes. The full podcast is up and ready to go at 11 a.m. Eastern. The YouTube premiere starts at 10:15. So in that 45-minute window is when the premiere goes. So at 11 o'clock, it's up, ready to go. So if you want to join the YouTube premiere, it starts at 10:15 a.m. Eastern. But the full podcast will be up at 11, same with the Apple and the Spotify. That is also 10 a.m. in Winnipeg, 9 in Calgary, 8 in the West Coast. We would love to see you for the next episode. On behalf of my amazing co-host, Mr. Dave Wheeler, the 6'2", devilishly good-looking man with the hottest wife in the city of Winnipeg, thank you for listening to the podcast. And if you want to listen to Dave's morning radio show, Energy 106 on the mornings in Winnipeg.
Download the podcast as well, Wheeler in the Morning. There's also Wheeler After Dark, a podcast I do with my wife and the man known as the Sad Jaguar. That comes out every Monday at 6 p.m. Don't look at me at social media. I ain't there. This is where you get me.
Right, Dave doesn't have social media. If you want to contact him, you got to go through me, through the Sling the Biscuit YouTube or the Instagram page. And by the way, one last thing before we let you go. A couple people were complaining that Dave's camera quality sucks in the video version. If you become a Patreon member,
no, it's great. I'm actually just that ugly.
If you want to make Dave not look ugly and we get him a better camera, join the Patreon page, hit the subscribe button, and hopefully we can get him a new camera. Hopefully sometime before June. That'd be great on the to-do list. But anyway, on behalf of Dave and myself, thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next Sunday.
I got to pee.